Well, it is Christmas, and I want to say again, Merry Christmas. I hope you have a wonderful time. Things, whether you have lots of plans or little plans, either one can be wonderful. But I pray that in all this time, that you're having time just before the Lord, in His presence, just rejoicing for all the blessings that God has given you. And even the sad things that sometimes come in life, we still give God thanks and praise for the things that He's bringing us through, because we know there's even greater things ahead, but we also know that God is good in all seasons of our lives. So I pray there's some time of reflection for you, some time of meditation for you, and that you can even think, you know, what was it like 2,000 years ago to be in that manger, and the plan of God for all eternity coming into effect. It's pretty massive, and sometimes the temptations for all of us is to have a really celebratory, festive Christmas, and it's too easy to miss the time of just thinking about and pondering and wondering about the heart of God towards His creation, all mankind, and what was He doing on that day when Jesus was born. Pretty amazing if we consider. Well, in all this, I have a question for you. You know, you look at Christmas, and sometimes we have a Christmas barometer of how we feel or think we should be feeling at Christmas time, because sometimes Christmas is one of those holidays that is festive and wonderful and celebratory, and at the same time, it can be the opposite as well. It can actually bring in some other feelings that are not being festive and sometimes downcast. But let me ask you, how merry are you this Christmas? Like, if you have a barometer, maybe in your merry barometer that you have somewhere that you kind of facilitate how merry and joyful you are, how would you put yourself this Christmas? Do you feel that manifestation of love just bubbling up on the inside of you? Do you have that? Is that going on? What are you meditating upon this season? Do you have a lot of joyful things to meditate upon? Maybe there's some things with exciting things with the children or grandchildren. Maybe there's some exciting things going on with your family. Maybe something's happened this year that's never happened in your life and is really, really worth celebrating. And it's just wonderful. What are you meditating upon this season? Or let me ask you this. Do you feel like there's something missing? Maybe that's where you are, and you're not sure what it is even, and you're trying to figure it out, or maybe you have figured it out, but there feels like something is missing. You know, Christmas can bring out some of the best feelings, and actually it can bring out some pretty negative emotions and feelings as well. And I don't know where you are or where that is, or people you know, because you probably know people who are on both sides of the fence, and you've had conversations over this Christmas time with people, and some are like, they cheered you up, and some were like, wow, you know, this person's going through a really hard time, and maybe you were trying to be there to cheer them up or bless them in some way or another, and that's good, because you need to be there for others. Well, you may find yourself very merry, or you may find yourself not so merry, and I know we've all had this experience, though, when we were not so merry, and we were around somebody who was very merry. And we really didn't enjoy that. You know, for instance, you know, we might be around a person who's joyfully singing and they're happy, but you wish they would stop. They were singing Joy to the World, but you needed them to practice Silent Night. And it wasn't that you just had a headache, right? You know those times where you have headaches that you just need people in the house to be silent and quiet, or you just don't want to be around the hustle and bustle. No, you were physically fine, but there was something along the lines of the Grinch inside of you. And almost where you'd like to just snuff out that little happiness that's going on in other people. Or there's something in us like, why can you be so happy? How can you be so happy? And it's tough, especially when we're in a time when the seasons should be merry and festive. And if we ever we get to that point when we're in those seasons where people are celebrating, but there's something on the inside that's discontent. And there's this discontent on the inside. But what if we could go from a place of a discontented soul to experiencing amazing love, joy, and peace? Well, you know, and I know, that's life. A light that wants... Because there is a light that can be turned on the inside of me and you that can bring this life. A light that wants to be expressed in song or dance, or maybe just making cookies while humming some beautiful, beautiful tunes. Or maybe also giving great thought on blessing others and going out and intentionally doing things to bless others. Where can we find this source of life? Well, you know, sometimes we do feel down, and it's easy to do so because we do live in a dark world, and sometimes it seems so pervasive, and sometimes we're dealing with loss and pressures of life, but Christmas invites us to be festive, but sometimes the world around us seems oppressive, and I think there's spiritual realities to that. I think there really are. It's not just circumstances. I think sometimes when we go through this world and we're experiencing things, sometimes it's like spiritual forces are trying to enact upon us to really get us down, like this oppressive force. And literally, it's a darkness in the world. Well, we have this truth, though. We have this truth that in the midst of darkness, there was a light. A light came. And that truth will never be taken away. That's sometimes we have to just come back to that, because there's a truth that light always breaks darkness. Darkness cannot exist when there is light. You can try to put up barriers around the light. You can try to hide the light. But light always overcomes darkness. When there's a dark room, if you just turn on the light switch, darkness vanishes. And that is good news, that light breaks into the darkness. It's good news that goes way beyond feelings, way beyond emotions, because what came to us at Christmas changed everything. We've looked, and you've probably heard the scriptures, Isaiah 9:2, probably several times this Christmas, but let's look at it one more time. Isaiah 9:2 says, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned." You know, Scripture likens the birth of Jesus as the morning light breaking through a pitch black night. The kind of night where you can't see your hand in front of your face. That kind of darkness. This was talking about the moral nature of human depravity. And sometimes I feel like we will look at human depravity and we'll kind of think that, oh, it's not so bad. You know, you and I, we're not so bad. Maybe the people who've committed really serious crimes or done serious things, that they were so bad. But when God looked at the world, it was sin everywhere, in all hearts. And there had to be a light to break the darkness. If we think about the world that Jesus entered into, it was a world that was hostile to God. It was a world that did not want the King of Kings to come and take his rightful place, to take rulership. In fact, we know that this world fought against him. And there were those who, when he was taking and coming into his rightful place, they not only resisted him and rejected him, but they tried to use their power to kill him, and they did. So we know that God came into this hostile world, and yet there were still those hearing the prophecies of Isaiah and other prophecies that were given long before his coming. There were still those who longed waited and hoped for the Messiah, looking and desiring for him to come. And at the right moment, the God-appointed Kairos moment, he did. In this cataclysmic event that changed everything, a baby in a manger changed everything. John 1:14, as was read this morning, I will read it again. It says, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." The eternal God comes to us in the form of a human, born in the flesh. That's sometimes just something wonderful to meditate, to think of. What did God do to give up all of heaven to come to earth in the flesh? To be a finite being with all the limitations that we have, even in the form of a baby who could not even speak, but just could cry. What an amazing, amazing thing God did. Jesus tells us that because of what he did, that we are no longer bound by the darkness of this world. John 12:44 says this. He says, Jesus cried out, "Whoever believes in me does not believe in me only, but in the one who sent me. The one who looks at me is seeing the one who has sent me. I have come into the world as a light, so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness." I love that last part. That no one who believes in me should stay in darkness. The light came, and God made a way for us. It is no longer for us to stay in darkness. God has called us into the light, and he's still calling people into the light today. And we have this light to share with the world. So go tell it on the mountain. Right? That's what the Lord says. That this is about the good news of Jesus Christ coming to us. That we have a light. And this light is on the inside of us. And we say, yes, let it shine. Don't cover it up. The Bible says, don't cover up your light. Let it shine. Let it grow in you. Let it become this pervasive, this wonderful, growing, expansive light that's just not only in you, but it's going through you out into the world. And it started in a manger. Isaiah 9:6 says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." He's given to us, each of us. And for those who don't know him, there's a gift that is waiting for them. The gift of the Son, which is given to us. You see, all of this, what we're speaking of today, is Christmas. It's the real Christmas, right? I mean, I love the trees, and I love the wreaths. I love all the celebration of Christmas. It's wonderful. I mean, we enjoy a lot of the traditions. We enjoy a lot of the festive gatherings. I don't know if you'll have eggnog. I don't know what you'll do exactly. I mean, there's traditions that you have, and they're wonderful. But we have to always remember what the real Christmas is, because they didn't have any of that 2,000 years ago. And there's a lot of Christmas celebrations that are happening in the world that have none of that either. I mean, right now, if you're in the southern part of the hemisphere, it's hot. You're in shorts and t-shirt. There'll be no fires, and they probably won't have a Christmas tree. They probably won't have some of the celebrations that we have developed in the West. But they'll be celebrating Christmas, because they'll be celebrating Christ, the real Christmas. And if you think about that, the real Christmas, it's the manger. It's the miracle conception. It's the star of Bethlehem. It's Mary riding on a donkey into Bethlehem. It's Joseph hearing the voice of God and staying the course and not giving up. It's the poor shepherds staring in awe It's the wise men bringing treasures from a far distant land. It's the angelic visitations. It's the choirs of heaven worshiping. It's all that and more. For a light broke into a very dark world, and the darkness could not overcome it. See, that's the good news. We have this good news. The world may be dark, but it cannot overcome the light of Christ. John 3, 19 through 20. It says this, this is the verdict, or this is the judgment in some translations. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. That's good news. Jesus came to bring us light, for us to live in the light, no longer held in darkness. Jesus brought a spiritual light, one that would illuminate the hearts of mankind. It would illuminate what's happening in each of our consciousnesses. Jesus brings a revelation to us, a revelation of God. This light exposes evildoers and calls them into account. This light that God brings confronts the powers and the principalities that oppose him. In a light that would lead to the way of salvation, setting the captives free. What a powerful light that broke into the world on Christmas Day. As we meditate upon what was taking place in this eternal plan that God was bringing forth. See, we celebrate way more than a beautiful, cute baby cuddling in Mary's arms. That's beautiful. That's beautiful. A baby in a mother's arms, that's always beautiful. But we think about who this baby was, Emmanuel. Emmanuel, God with us, dwelling with us. He dwells with us today. John 3, 16 through 18 speaks of this wonderful gift that we've been given. You know this so well. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned. But whoever does not believe stands condemned already because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. Wow, what a choice we have been given. God gave us his Son to save the world, knowing that the world would reject, and yet many, many, many would come into the light and accept this great gift of God, his very Son, the greatest treasure that he had to offer us, and accept Christ and walk with him for all eternity. Can you imagine? Can you imagine being a father or a mother and sending your son into a situation where you know they would be abused, that people would be hostile to them, that they would be beaten, and that people would try to kill them, and that eventually they would even be successful in killing your son? Could you imagine sending your greatest treasure, your greatest gift that you had to offer, into the hands of those who would not appreciate, who would not love, but would reject? What a hard thing it was for the Father to send his Son. But yet, what would compel God to give to the world his greatest treasure when he would suffer greatly? We know that this story is about love. But not just a human type of love, But it's a love that far surpasses human affection. Because when we just look at our human love, we cannot understand God's love. Because human love has so many problems and so many faults. But God showed that His love was the standard that we need to come to and understand to truly know Him. 1 John 4, verse 9 says this. It says, God showed how much He loved us. God showed how much He loved us by sending His one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through Him. This is real love. This is real love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. This is real love. Christmas is about real love and what God did for us. Because when we're speaking about love, we're speaking about agape, the Greek word that really tells us about a love that's not natural to us as humans. It's not in our nature. Because this agape love is a love that's not self-serving, but it's self-giving. It's very different from a self-centered love that prevails in our culture and in human nature. In fact, agape is a love that seeks the good of others without being owed anything. That you seek the good of others even when it costs you something. And maybe even cost you something dear. Agape love is in this world because of God. You see, we know agape because God first loved us. We know this type of love. And it's a love that truly transforms the heart if we allow this love to truly reform our very natures. It's a love that teaches us what it truly is to love. To get outside of ourselves and outside of our emotions, to find something greater working in us and through us. And we know that this is not sentimentalism. We know it's not just emotional feelings that drove God to act. Instead, it came out of His nature. God is love. The Bible tells us that. God is love. That is His nature. That's who He is. He operates that way day in and day in. That He cannot be any other. That's who He is. At the same time, God is holy. And those two things working together. Because his son was an act of love. And yet it was also an act that was calling His people to righteousness, to live holy lives. Because now we can because of Him, because of His righteousness. God's love changes everything. We all need to know this God who made a way for us to know love, peace, joy, grace, and mercy. We all need to know this. And even though, yes, we probably all in here today can say, I do know this love. I do know this God. And He's been good to me. He's been my all in all. I mean, I hope you can say that this morning. He's been my all in all. And today I stand upon the truth. I stand upon everything that He has done for me. That He is mine and I am His. Because knowing Him allows us to be rooted in love. Sometimes we'll go chase this and sometimes we'll go chase that. And sometimes we have to wake up on some morning and say, what am I doing in life? Why am I going after this? Why am I going after that when I have the greatest love that mankind can know? So sometimes the call is, yes, it is Christmas. But don't have Christmas without Christ. Don't have all the festivities and all the beautiful pageantry and everything that we love. We love traditions, we do. But let it all come back to Him. Let it all come back to the manger and what God was doing for us. The gift He came to bring each one of you. And the gift He wants you to share with others. To not just keep it for yourself and not God says, don't keep it for yourself, Mark. Share it with others, that others may know this light that has come into the world, this gift that is waiting for them to open it. But a gift is only good if you open it and apply it to your life. Because when the gift is given and you don't open it and you don't apply it to your life, it's just sitting on the side. It's still sitting under the tree. Christ made a way for you. He made a way for me to know true love and true righteousness. That's the gift we need, to be reminded of this love that God gives. You know, it's a love that can satisfy us like nothing else. Just to sit in His presence and say, wow, Lord, I may not have this, I may not have that. There may be a whole lot of things I don't have in life. But Lord, I have You. And that's the most significant thing. What a great gift we have in Him. He's our Savior. He's our Redeemer, our Lord, the light we live by, the revelation of God's love that redefines who we are, redefines our value and our purpose in life. My prayer for you is that you encounter Him afresh, that you encounter Him anew, that you feel that love fills you up. And that you won't try to replace God in any which way, just with tradition, with family, with this. I mean, I'm hoping you have all that stuff. But take Christ to those times. Take Christ to your family. Like, have the abundance of God that you share with others. And experience God's love afresh and anew this Christmas. So that's my prayer for you. And I just hope that each one of us can have those times of real blessing. That if it felt like you had nothing else in life but you had Him, you would have this satisfaction in your soul that would be so rich and so beautiful and so wonderful that you know that God's love is in you.